Right. I've got, again, a lot of notes for you for me to go through. First 5 pages. No, not really. It's great again. I mean, I don't know how God does it, but he just does it. Again, Phoebe's picked a song which isn't necessarily much relevant to what I want to share directly, but I want to talk a bit about change. But what made me think about change was I'm in the process of changing jobs. But then I started thinking back about what God's done with me in the past. And hearing that song, I mean, I first learned that song when I was about 7 or 8. And how it's still just as true today as it was then. And the same with change. I mean, someone once said, the only thing constant about change is that it's here to stay. And that's all we've got to think about, is that God wants us to change, no matter what age we are, what our background is. So, just bear with me. Okay. Again, I'll go through my notes because I find it easier doing it that way. Life means change. There's no change. Where there's no change, there's no life. Life can and never should remain static. However, not all change is good for us. Things can happen to us which have such an adverse effect on us, we become damaged and the quality of our life can become affected. Therefore, we need to be able to discern which changes are for our good and which are not. And we can't do that on our own. We have to do that with God's help. As far as is possible, we have to choose those changes which make us more alive, more human, because that's what we are. We're not animals who can't go around talking to people. Our growth as human beings is in direct proportion to our openness to and discernment of change. A closed mind and a closed heart, which are in opposition to change, will hold back our growth. It can kill us from within. If we honestly want to become more alive or grow up and become more mature, whatever age we are, we can still become more mature, we must be prepared to change from our childish attitudes and ways. We learn to live as adults in an adult world. Just as with the passing of time, we get older, maybe wiser. I don't know about myself, I don't know if I've got any wiser. We should also become more mature, more experienced, more responsible, and definitely more understanding. Just life comes us moment by moment and goes onwards. We're not the same today as we were yesterday, or last week, or last month. Whether we like it or not, we're changing. And as we get exposed to all that life has to show and teach us, and those lessons as show and teach us, and use those creative lessons as creatively as possible. Sometimes we can decide to oppose change in certain areas of our lives, we may know deep down may actually help us. Again, I know personally, I've had things which I've had to change. I haven't liked it, and I've reacted to it and said, no, I don't want to change, stepping out of my comfort zone. But basically, if we do that, quite simply, we die to that area of our personality, whether it's physical, emotionally, or spiritually. To put simply, we become less of a person than we would have been had we accepted that change God wanted of us. We have to grow up in our attitudes and emotions towards our lives. As Christians, we need to grow in our attitude to God and mature in our relationship with him. Again, it's an ongoing thing. It doesn't stop. As we grow in our understanding, both of ourselves and those around us, we constantly grow in our relationship with God. We can see far more clearly through the people and events that God has placed us in. My first quote from the Bible is from Luke chapter 2, verse 52. Just one little bit. I'll just read it out, unless you want to look it up. So it's Luke 2, verse 52. And Jesus grew in wisdom and stature. Basically, Jesus was very open to change. He's a fantastic example to us that we should live in a constantly changing world. He didn't just suddenly become a teenager. He didn't just suddenly go on. It was stage by stage as God was working with him. Change can fill us with fear the more we fail to adapt to it. Again, me saying about that new job. Okay, I've been doing a lot of it for the last 6 months, but it's still a big change. It's a big step. Okay? Unless we take control of any fear, we can find it destroys us. Healing can unblock the healing in our lives to integrate all change which may be putting a block on our development. And when I say healing, I don't just necessarily mean physical healing from, say, an injury or that. Sometimes it's spiritual and mental healing because we might suddenly have doubts we can't do something. Change is the essence of life. It gives us all a thrill. It gives a sense of adventure, of discovery, and of a feeling that it's great to be alive, because we all would like to have something which challenges us. There can be no Christian healing without change, It means changing ourselves and allowing ourselves to lead a life that is being led by God. It's not us leading. We might think we're leading, but God's leading us. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. 1162, if you've got the church Bible. Okay, again, it's just one verse. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come, the old one has gone, and the new one is here. I would shout a bit more, but my voice has gone a bit today. But think about it. It's changed. You know, everything's changed. You know, new one is here. Not, oh, it will be here. It's here. This is all God's work. Every time we receive Christian healing, we become changed. Change through this God-given healing involves our growth, so we may become more of a person that God wants us to be. Not what we want to be, but what God wants us to be. Some of us are fanatically afraid of change and are consequently afraid of life. We want to stay where we are, feeling secure in our own comfort zone. And I've learnt, to my cost, that it's a bit of a pity, because when I don't live in God's comfort zone, it's not a comfort zone. It's only a feeling, okay? If we want to become more like that, the person God wants us to be, we have to embrace the change that happens every day, every week, every month. And even within a day, it can have to change hour by hour as God talks to us and we listen to what God's saying to us. We must be free of all those fears that weigh us down and are a burden to us. God doesn't want us to worry about it. So why do we worry about it? This is where faith steps in. We become expectant and keen for the next moment. We need to live more by faith and sensitive to the Holy Spirit and what God is developing in us, as the world that God has us living in is changing moment by moment. God doesn't want us to be dragging our heels. He wants us to get on with it. We cannot and should not keep looking back at our past. We're reminded by Jesus what we have to keep a close lookout for, and we have to keep a close lookout for what's going on around us. If we have a look at Matthew chapter 16, verses 1 to 3. And that's on page 983. So it's Matthew 16, verses 1 to 3. The Pharisees and Sadducees came to Jesus and tested him by asking him to show a sign from heaven. He replied, "When evening comes, you say, 'It'll be fair weather, for the sky is red.' And in the morning, 'Today it will be stormy, for the sky is red and overcast.' You know how to interpret the appearance of the sky, but you cannot interpret the signs of the times. For those who are completely opposed to change, like the Pharisees and Sadducees that we've just gone through, nothing is allowed to rock their boat at all. They don't want anything to cause any problems from whatsoever. They were going nowhere, so they could not, or more to me, to a point, is they would not read the signs of the times. They missed out on the promised Messiah. They were so busy waiting, but there he was in front of them. They didn't see him. If we're not careful, we too can miss out on what God is showing us in these times. And I don't really want that to happen to any of us, because God doesn't want us to miss out. So please, don't miss out, okay? We have no real vision of joy or hope, for we've lost the spirit of adventure, which I spoke about earlier, that God has given us. Change in any form, whether it's physical, emotional or spiritual, can threaten our idea of happiness. We become pessimists who are unable to see that change would be for the better. But we need to be dreamers. I'll say it again, we need to be dreamers. We don't want to just get stuck in the rut we're in. We might not think we can change our church, and when I say church, I mean church, not just this place, but the church of God everywhere, okay? Because we've just got to be prepared to get on with it, and just to say, just sticking there, okay? Once we allow ourselves to be open to change, it's when we become open to that lack of security and certainty. We set out on a journey, not knowing what the price will be, or what the end result will be. Again, like I say, this new job, I've been doing a lot of it for 6 months, but it's not until I actually start this week that I'll know actually what it involves. They might have been painting a nice pretty picture to try and attract me, and everything will be completely different. But I'm not worried about that. I know God's in control of it. For change may come upon us, as I say, without warning, and anaesthetise us, and I mean anaesthetise, which means you don't feel anything. We're shocked and we're fully normal to what is happening in our lives, whether it's good or bad. Because in the same way, some might exceed our expectations. We may feel we may never recover. But if we're to carry on living, we need to pick up the pieces and, with God's help, put those pieces back together again. Again, it's not us picking up the pieces and putting them together, it's God doing it with us. Especially as we'll not necessarily know where to start. The other day I was with a couple of guys in the church, Steve and Terry, and we were talking about doing jigsaws, how you start around the edge. God knows which is the best place to start on that jigsaw in our lives, when we've got to pick up the pieces. There will, of course, be times when we have good, if not great, things happen in our lives. These might well come to us gradually and slowly, permeating into our consciousness. In much the same way as I personally remember with my eldest son when I was waiting for him to walk. He must have been 2.5 and he just would not walk. One day, went out on a bus, came back home again. He was in the buggy. I took him out of the buggy. Next thing I know, he's walking. No warning whatsoever. But God wants to do that. He wants to see that change in us. But we can get up out of that buggy and walk and do things with him, okay? Another quote. Hosea chapter 11, verses 1 to 4. That's page 908. Okay, so Hosea chapter 11, verses 1 to 4. It was I who taught Ephraim to walk, taking by the arms, but they did not realise it was I who healed them. I led them cords of human kindness, with ties of love. To them, I was like one who lifts a little child to a cheek, and I bent down to feed them. Saying, it's God who teaches, God who helps us. The immense effect of changing us will be revealed us very gently, and we might necessarily see things moment by moment. Going back, say, with my oldest son, and he's walking, it just happened. We may not fully understand the process for which God is taking us as it happens, but only when we have reached the final outcome, or near the final outcome, will we realise and hopefully appreciate the pattern that God has been creating in us. We should, with the help of the Holy Spirit, be set free. We should have that desire to be as free as God wants us to be, counting as nothing for the sacrifices we have made to follow that dream God has given us. We should have no regrets about our past either. A great example of that is found in Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. I'll just read it out for you. The Lord said to Abram, go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you. I'll make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I mean, I could have gone through so much more about Abram and Abraham, but that's just one little bit. God, as I say, wants to be aching with a burning desire to live our lives full for and with him. For us Christians should be exploring the stimulating gospel of Jesus. This will help us to encourage us to stretch our wings and be like that eagle and soar above our doubts and fears. Think about it, you know, we don't need to get bogged down in our fears or worries. Personally speaking, I've always yearned to be free, spending time with like-minded Christians in that way, okay? I'm not saying anything against you guys, don't get me wrong. They frequently get me going, for I remember ones who encouraged me in the past have on the whole been ordinary Christians, who even in most horrendous difficulties have never, ever lost their sense of joy in life. I'm talking about friends of mine in Eastern Europe who've got absolutely nothing. They've got far less than we have, but they are so full of life and joy and have so much peace in God. And sometimes their attitude is, when things have gone wrong, I say, well, we'll start again. God's been good to us before, he'll be good to us again. He's our Father. So just think about that for a bit. We need to have that unshakable faith. When faced with problems which could so easily have destroyed lives of other people, they held tightly to the Christian dream of living this life to the full. When change had their way, they saw it as a challenge to their Christian faith, and they knew that they were not found wanting. They were listening to what God was saying all the way along the line. They trusted in their loving and caring Father, who was with them in every single moment of their Christian lives, especially when all they were able to hold on to was their Christian faith. In worldly terms, they had nothing. And some still do have nothing, but they have their faith. If we want us to use the changes in our lives creatively, we must have a positive attitude and not worry unnecessarily. We need to live our lives one day at a time. Sure, we may want to work out how we're going to cope in the future if we're seeing some kind of terrible misfortune, but we have to take life as it is now. in this moment. I mean, tomorrow it could be worse, but it could be better. It's all on an attitude. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 34, I think we all know it, I'll just read it for you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. So why are we getting bogged down in things? Or why am I getting bogged down in things? In my own life, I've come to realise that the God who looked after me yesterday will look after me today and look after me tomorrow, only if I learn to trust him more and more. I believe God is present all the time in each life experience, but I may not fully be aware of it at the time. He had his plan for me in order to make me be a part of it. I had to grow through the pain which the changes involved. And again, sorry to go on personally, but for me, moving up here from South London, that was a change. I had to get on with it. God wanted me here. That's it. God knows our problems and difficulties that may take place during the changes in our lives. We need not to carry the burden alone. God, who is our loving and caring Father, will change the situation because he will be changing us. So what was a crisis will become an area of personal growth. Philippians chapter 3, verses 8 and 9. That's page 1180 in the Church Bible. I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I've lost all things. And this is the exact quote. I consider them garbage that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith. Change may at times be a threat to our peace, but it should never, ever destroy it. When we all learn to take all of our problems to God, we'll realise and experience the truth of his words found in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. Where it says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. We cannot and should not solve our problems alone. We need help, not only from close friends, but also from God. Too many of us suffer alone and are unable to cope with change in our lives, especially those caused by the suffering of those who we love and care for. Again, I can speak from experience. We all need to support each other. I personally believe that things like alcoholism, gambling, or any supposing debilitating factor in any shape or form is hopeless. For after all, to me, life without hope is not life at all. For instance, I, despite everything that's happened, my ex-wife and my children, believe and have that faith that though I may not have seen my children for 5 years, I will. Being an optimist, I live each day to the full, not because I may not have a tomorrow, but to me, it is the best way to live for tomorrow. Living one day at a time is the true Christian approach to any problem that I may encounter during the day. Every morning, I pray for my inner peace of both mind and heart, and ask that no event or action of that day may tear down that inner peace. I know and want you to know that the only way we can properly live the myriad of changes which may often happen in the day is when we're at peace with ourselves. This, I assure you, is not always the case. Sometimes I do dread the day ahead and what it may bring. It brings my confidence and faith in God to a jutting halt, simply because I've let fear of change take control of my life. Hopefully I have some small way encourage you to see change in your lives as positive. I know many of us have suffered far worse than each other. I mean, what I feel I've gone through might be really bad, but compared to what some of you have gone through might be even worse. I might not fully understand what you're going through, but the least I can do is identify with you and be there for you. Nowadays the world may seem, well, far more violent and harsher. And it's now, to me, that the world needs us more and more. And any fears we've got, we'll be able to overcome with God's help. In a fast-changing world, the rock on which our lives should be built is our faith in God. He's our Father to whom we have complete trust in our lives and for all, and I say all, of its changes. I'll just finish off with a small excerpt in Revelation 21, verse 5, where it says, and we'll make all things new. Not some things new, all things new. So if you want to have a minute or so just to quietly reflect on that, then we'll go into communion.